Okay, effective witnessing. Matthew 24, verse 14. Keep turning. There we go. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all nations, then the end shall come. So what were the apostles trying to do? They were going out and spreading the gospel, weren't they? Yeah. They were trying to build on what Jesus had told them. But what was their mission in this witness? What were they trying to bring about? Yeah, the end of this world and the beginning of the next, right? That was what they were after. So why was it important? If they walked around in this dismal funk all the time going, praise God, praise God, how many people are going to follow people like that? Oh, sure, there's a few out there that will follow that. I mean, what... I wish Michelle was here. She could better describe it. There's kids, emo kids, and then there's the goth kids. You know, they're all kind of dark and dismal, right?
Yeah.
They might follow something like that. But those of us that are trying to live a cheerful and happy outlook in our life probably wouldn't follow someone like that, would we? Of course not. Okay, so I came up with some things. Number one, what do you think the number one reason people start attending a church is? This is all the little junk that I dug up this week wandering around, okay? Number one reason, what do you think it is? I did a little research on it. Go ahead, Kara.
Because they're looking for meaning.
There you go. They're looking for something, okay? Whether it be meaning, whether it be comfort, whether it be healing, it could be a million different things. They see something they want, okay? What do you think the number one reason people leave a church is? This was a tie. Now remember, speak real loud. There's no meaning. Okay. Anybody else? They don't get what they need. Two things tied. Hypocrisy and lack of something. Exactly what Emily said and Brenda said. Lack of something. They're not getting what they need. If you go to church every Sunday morning and you're not getting anything out of it, is that giving you incentive to go every Sunday morning? No. Okay. Which brings me to the next question. Are you following Christian zombies? No one ever thought I could use the word zombie in a sermon and get away with it, did you? Think about it. Look at the Christians that are walking around in the world right now. Some of them are exactly that. They are mindless zombies. They're only there because it's a habit. Praise God, praise God, you know, just like all the horror movies, they're all standing in a line marching toward one poor soul that's running for his life, you know, looking for that something, okay? Is church a heartless habit for you? Have you ever thought of that? Is it a heartless habit? You have no heart whatsoever in the church, you just show up because someone told you that's what you're supposed to do. Ooh, I hope these challenged your mind as much as they did me this week. Is your witness genuine? Okay, you have a connection with God, whatever it may be, that brings you into the church. Is it genuine? Or is it a false front? Are you trying to impress somebody? You got a happy face and a sad heart? Ooh, think about that. Do you have a happy face with a sad heart? I mean, Mike and John smile all the time. But wouldn't it be horrible to find out that their life is a pointless, miserable thing, even though they walk around grinning all the time? That's hypocrisy, okay? That's because you're not living anything from your heart. You're just living it out of action, okay? What is your connection? What is your connection to God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit? What is your connection? Does it sustain you? Will it sustain you with nothing else? I go around the room and I could ask every one of you what your connection is, and you could tell me a different thing. I mean, I could pick on Brenda. Brenda's connection is a very powerful one if you think about it. For some, she was in the hospital originally, okay? The prayers were given. Healing took place. What we considered a miracle took place. Strengthened her, brought her out of the hospital, brought her back home to her kids. Everything got good. And then things got bad again. Did that miracle sustain her? Only she can answer that. Okay. How about you? What about your connection with God? And all the things that have happened in your life? Has it sustained you? Or are you constantly searching for more? Wasn't that one miracle enough? And if it wasn't, why? Why wasn't it? We have to look at these things. All right, where did I hook that up? Oh, this is good. I guess I'll look at my little stars and aspects here. All right? Was your connection, is it always running out? In other words, you get to that high, and then wham, right back to the gutter. Up, down, up, down. Wouldn't that kind of drive you nuts after a while? It does. It does, people. Okay? What is your real motivation? What is your connection again with Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit? Is it personal? Is it a personal hookup with you and God? Or is it someone else's hookup? We're going to go over some things and see what we're talking about here. The battle is on. It never sleeps. You get bombarded every day by something new. It never sleeps. As long as you are working toward God, just so you know, Satan is going to do everything in his power to stop you. All right. If you're not working toward God, he don't have to waste time with you because he's already won. Okay. Keep that thought in the back of your head. Okay. Last but not least, and then we're going to get on to this. Are you in it? Church? Religion? God? Whatever? For impression or redemption? What are you here for? You trying to impress somebody? You trying to impress the church? You trying to impress a parent, a child? Are you trying to impress mother, father, brother, sister, Bob, the next door neighbor? Or are you here for the actual purpose of the gospel, which is redemption? The witness that was given. The gospel is a great and wonderful kingdom is coming, and you have to repent and redeem yourself to enter it. Otherwise, you're wasting time. Okay? All right, so what's important about witnessing? Now that I've given you all this stuff, don't you feel that witnessing is something that is important? If you feel it's working in your life, shouldn't you be telling others? Shouldn't they see it in you, on you, around you? Even though you have trouble, heartache, and problems, because guess what? Those are going to be with you all your life. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to break it to you all that way. It happens every day. Every morning I get up, and believe it or not, there's a new batch on the tree. And it seems like it's harvest time, and I've got to go pull them all off so I can haul them around with me all day. And then at night I'm sitting there with a basket of rotten fruit that's really messing up my life, and I'm trying to dump it out. Okay? But next morning, guess what? There's more. So what's the purpose? Aren't we supposed to be bringing joy into our lives? Now, if you focus on the positives, what will happen? Joy. Come on, everybody together. I want this tape to hear this. Come on. Joy will happen in your life. Better things will happen. You will actually function as a happy, joyful human being. And when the problems come, they will not hurt you as bad as when you're already down. Okay, because if you're already at the bottom of the barrel, pretty much you're digging your way through the bottom and trying to get into the dirt under it, aren't you? But if you bring yourself back up, which is what God's trying to do in your life, you still got to get to the bottom of the barrel, don't you? Okay, so you still have the ups and downs, but at least you know you're not alone in that battle. All right, Proverbs 14:25, if you'd like to turn there. Proverbs 14:25. One of the reasons a witness is important. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Oh, my life is so happy and joyous. And you know full well that there's a million problems at the house waiting for you to turn your smile off and go back home. Right? Why not be honest with the family that you have? Why not be honest with your father? Why not allow yourself to unburden yourself? That's what our prayers are for. That's what our witnessing is for. We are sharing the positive, great things in life with others. Okay? Who told the apostles to get out there and witness? Acts 22. Acts 22, verse 13. Wow, I jumped right onto Romans. I don't want to do that. Acts 22, verse 13. Okay, you ready? 22, verse 13. We're going to read through 16. Make sure I'm in the right spot here. Acts 22:13. Okay, it looks right. Came to me and standing near said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very time I looked up at him and he said, The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear the utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on his name. Who was Saul?
Paul.
That's who he became. When he was Saul, he was pretty vicious to the Jews, or the Christians, I should say. He was a good man to the Jews. He was out persecuting Christians, and then he was blinded. The Damascus Road and all that. And then he was given his sight back. And he was told to do something. What was he told to do? Witness. Now, he had a personal connection, didn't he? Do you think that you could have a personal connection if you went from blind back to seeing? Oh, yeah. I think that'd be an easy one, don't you? All right, then, Brenda, tell me what your witness is when he gave you your life back. How about you, Tom? Michael? Deb? We'll pick on Cisco. Cisco went overseas and came back. He went to an area where they were shooting at people. He came back. Don't you consider that a great miracle? Oh, yeah. Every day. Let's start looking at these things, guys. How many miracles do you need in your life? Are you like those people that wandered in the wilderness? Well, I know what you did for me yesterday, Lord, but what have you done for me today? We're constantly on the prowl for this miracle to happen every day. Well, I got news for you. It has happened already. Your redemption's at hand. The witness is, you need to make it personal. And have a reason to smile. When you talk to people, don't tell them about the aches and pains and misery of your life. Good Lord, they've got enough of theirs. Why would they want yours? Tell them about that positive thing that keeps you going. Well, let's see. In my case, it would be four children. Four grandchildren. Kids coming and going. You know. Ooh, I better say the wife or I'm going to get beat. Okay. Yeah, and she's back there with a book in her hand. That's okay. These are the positives in my life. I could be without her, trying to raise four kids on my own. I would have went insane at least 5-10 years ago, I know. Because I would have had to do it when they were younger. Michelle was bad enough when she grew up. Can you imagine doing that when she was only, how old was she, 10? Yeah, about 10 when Mom had her thing in the hospital. 7, okay. So it was a lot longer than I thought. But think about that. I could have lost her. You know, a significant part of my life could have been gone. Could have lost Jonathan. Because we had a car, went off the road, got run into the ditch. We were young parents, didn't quite know how to use a car seat. You know, we had him buckled in, we just didn't have it buckled to the seat. So, he kind of played kid pinball in the car. Boop, 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 boop. Praise God, he's still here. Okay. Yeah, that'll go out on the web. Probably become part of the YouTube thing. But I want you to look at it, make it personal. Paul went from being a good Jew, don't get me wrong, he was a great Jew, had a wonderful life going on. He was moving up the ladder, the social ladder and the political ladder by his actions. And God decided, no, you're going to work for me. So, wham, you're blind. How many of you would like to go from zero to blind that fast? It's not a big thing, is it? You'd be surprised how much you lose when these go. Okay. I mean, when I take these off and try to read from here, it's impossible for me. But if I put them back on, I can see pretty good. And that's a miracle to me. But I want you to make it personal. Without it being personal, you cannot convince anyone what you're doing is right. Look at all the great leadership of the world. If it was not personal to them, they would have never convinced anyone it was right. Even the greatest deceivers in the world cannot convince unless they feel somewhere deep down inside them what they're doing is right. Okay. So make God a positive part of your life. Don't make Him the brunt of all your troubles. Don't make Him the person that you only go to when you're having a headache. Make Him a positive part of your life. That way, when you walk around with that great smile and someone at the Olson Center comes up to you, John, and he goes, man, you're always smiling. What in the world's going on in your life? And you go, you know, I'm just so happy because God is doing this for me and this for me and this for me. And after a while, yeah, you're going to get the folks that are going to look at you and go, oh, it's another one of them wackos. You know, you're going to get that. I mean, I'm sorry to tell you that. You will get that. But every now and then you're going to find one that's going to go, where do you go to church? You know, obviously you're around people that are helping you get this way, so I want to be this way. Show me how. How do I get there? And if they don't ask to go to church, maybe they'll ask you simple questions. Well, what has God done to you? And then you can translate it to them. This is what He's done to me. What's He done to you? Well, He's made my life miserable. No, He didn't. You did that on your own. Point out the positives in their life. Hey, you know, you're still above ground and breathing. That's a big thing in some people's lives. Even the homeless folks can count that amongst their blessings. They are still alive. And there's still an opportunity for them to progress forward. Because the only time it's over is when we're dead. And then it's done. Where did you hear the message the first time? Where did you hear the gospel? Who brought it to your heart? Was it forced upon you? Was it a habit you have been brought up on? Or is it something personal that has happened in your life that has brought you to where you're at? You think I came a pastor overnight? I got a kid right here that can tell you. Well, I got two of them in the room. They can tell you for a fact I wasn't a pastor in Utah. I wasn't a pastor in Biloxi. I wasn't a pastor in North Dakota. Where else do we live? Missouri. I wasn't a pastor in Missouri. I said North Dakota. Maybe I lived there twice and I just forgot. I don't know. But all these places that I lived, I wasn't a pastor until I came to South Carolina. And then I started thinking, you know, there's something going on in my life. And then I started looking at the positives. And then the next thing you know, I come to Rockwood and I do pastoring here. And it just keeps snowballing. And every time I try and walk away from it, guess what? It don't work. Hate to be the one to tell you this. It's a horrible thing when he finally catches you. It's like, oh, no, you don't. Every time you try and walk away, he points out something positive that you need to be concentrating on as opposed to the, oh, pity me. Okay. That's the important part, and that's why it has to be personal. Because if you have no personal connection with Jesus, with God, or with the Holy Spirit, you're not getting anywhere. It has to be personal in your life. Something has had to have happened. Okay, you got baptized. Great. That's the first step. After that, it has to become part of your life. We've all seen things happen in our life that were great that we didn't do. Sometimes we just got to peel away all that debris in front of it to get to it, to see it. Okay? That's what we look at. What do you know about Moses, David, Paul? Do you think they had personal testimony with God? What do you think Moses' personal testimony would have been? What do you think his witness to others would have been? I mean, he led an entire nation out of bondage. That's pretty impressive. I mean, when was the last time one of y'all dragged 2 million people out into the desert? And they went willingly. Hey, this guy's got something going on. Let's go follow him. Nothing but sand, rock, and scorpions out here. But every time they turned around, there was a new miracle going on. And of course, every time they turned around, it was not personal to them, so they kept asking for more. And asking for more. And asking for more. Until it became personal when he said, okay, none of you are going into the promised land except the ones I say so. The rest of you are going to die in the desert. You know what? It became personal. And the ones that died didn't go to the promised land. The next generation did. And they understood what it meant to be personal. To understand God when He says, I will take you there, but you better pay attention and listen. He doesn't like disobedient children. Okay. He will forgive them. Don't get me wrong. He forgives disobedient children all day long. But He doesn't care for them. It's kind of like our kids. We love them to death. But sometimes we don't like them. You know, there's a problem. They're doing something they're not supposed to. But that does not mean we stop loving them and caring for them. We still give them the opportunity to turn and come back. Okay? That's the same way God is with us, and that's the way it becomes personal to us. God has taken a moment out of His schedule to deal with us. That's what your prayer with Him is. That's what your walk with Him is. A moment of His time. Now think of the biggest CEO on the planet. Do you think he would even take a moment out of his day to stop and consider you.
But he's not.
Look at Bill Gates. Will he stop in the middle of his day? Probably not. And I'm not picking on Bill because, you know, he's a big, important businessman. But you know, God will stop for him anytime he wants. All he has to do is stay. Lord, help me. God, I'm looking for you. Well, I'm right here, Bill. You don't have to go nowhere. He says the same thing to you. And that should just fill your heart with joy, that you have that positive every day in your life, that you know that no matter what happens in your life, God will take care of it. Now, if you can fill your heart with that and be able to carry it out to others, you could be the most effective witness on this earth. You personally could blow Paul's record out of the water. You personally could blow Moses' record out of the water. David. Each of them. How many times in the Bible do we see where someone was just completely against odds that were just astronomical and they won? Are there just that many coincidences in the world? I mean, little David goes up against big Goliath. He wins. That makes the odds makers in Vegas just shake. Think about it. That's God at work. Because it's His power, His strength, His armor, His weapons that we deal with. Not ours. Because ours are people in comparison. You share it with others. You speak to people. If you can't speak to someone about God, maybe God's not working in your life too well. Maybe you haven't taken that moment to figure out where He is in your life. Maybe you're too busy of gimme, gimme, gimme. What's in it for me? The heck with everybody else. It's all up to, you know, if I'm happy. That's not how it works. When y'all went to the Red Cross this week, did anybody smile when they got the food?
Yes.
Did they? You think anybody in the room was thankful for what was going on?
Yes.
I asked about our church. We had someone ask about our church. Okay. Think about that. That's an effective witness. Well, how many people's in your church? Less than 50. What? And you're in here feeding 50? This don't make no sense. Because God's work sometimes doesn't make sense to those that are not in tune with what it is. We're supposed to be caring and helping each other. All right? If you're not caring and helping each other, guess what? You're sending the wrong message. You're walking around with that grim look on your face going, I am so happy in God. I am so happy. Don't have to have a creepy grin like that. Okay. I'm kind of glad that don't go off on tape. Okay. But I want you to think about it in those terms. Can you be positive? Can you convince others that this is the way to go? If you can't, maybe you should figure out how to convince others. How did it become personal to you? What has touched your life that God directly did, no one else did? Speak to people. If God and Jesus are so positive in your life, it's going to come real easy. But you know, if God and Jesus are not positive in your life, that's going to be the hardest thing in the world for you to do, is tell someone about God if you haven't developed a relationship with Him. Oh, I know Jesus. He died for me on the cross. And that's about all I know. I don't think you'll convince too many people with that. They'll be like, okay. The guy you believe in is dead. Now what do I do? You know, who do I turn to now? Oh, I left out that part. Hold it now. There was something about he came back. Yeah. See, that's what I liked about it. It's like, okay. He didn't do anything wrong, but they killed him for it. And his dad got mad and brought him back. And he's alive and he's coming back for us. As long as we take care of each other. That's a great positive message. But if you can't take care of each other, it goes back to the saying, you know, if you want to be alone in the kingdom, wouldn't that be a great way to go through eternity? Alone? In the biggest city? How many of you have seen the new movie, I Am Legend? Or heard about it? Last Man on Earth. Will Smith. I love him. Last guy on Earth. Nobody else anywhere except for these zombies. Okay. But I want you to think about that for a minute. Forget the zombies. They're not there. You're just in this big, empty world by yourself for eternity. Sure, you got God and Jesus to yourself, but no one to share it with other than them. Doesn't God want you to be with others to enjoy your life? I mean, I can't even picture life without a little monkey back there in the corner. But imagine if I get to the kingdom and he's not there. Even if I die before him, I want him to be able to share with me how his life went. What went on? How'd things go? When I talk to John, I want to be able to see how John's life went, how Elena progressed, how Andrew, how Angie. I want to know all these things. I want to know where Bev went and where Tom went and where Cisco and Karen went. I want to know all this stuff. If you guys aren't there, guess what? I won't know. It'll be a cold and lonely place. But I don't think that's what God intended. So we have to show it in our life. Whatever you do, don't be a hypocrite. If you make a mistake, fess up to it. Okay? You're not perfect. None of us are. We won't be until a later date. Okay? So remember that. If you do make a mistake, suck it up. Move on. Believe it or not, you send volumes out to people when you tell them, you know, I goofed up. Because the only perfect Christian was a wonderful man that died and was resurrected from the dead. He was a perfect Christian. Because he was the first. And he's the one we look forward to returning. But until then, we're not perfect. We have sin in us and we make mistakes. But that's what God is there for, to take care of us when we do make a mistake. So don't be a hypocrite. Make your life testimony your love of Jesus and God. Simple as that. Sometimes people won't listen. I want you to turn to Mark 6. This is one of my favorite parts is Mark. You know, you're always wondering why folks won't listen to you. Well, I can only imagine the day that this happened with Jesus. Mark 6, verse 3. Mark 6, verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James, Jose, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, among his own relatives, and his own household. And he could do no miracle there, except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them. And he wondered at their disbelief. He went around to other villages teaching. Jesus went home during his ministry. And they were like, this is the carpenter's kid. There's nothing special about him. I beg to differ. I beg to differ. There is something special about Jesus. I don't know of anyone else that did absolutely nothing to deserve his punishment, was crucified for it, and then raised from the dead. by God his Father. In history, in all the books I've ever read, this is the only man that I've ever heard that this happened to. That tells me a lot. And then when I pray and things happen in my life, and when I look to God for help and things happen in my life, and when the Holy Spirit comes upon me and I do things that I didn't think were inside of me, how could it not be personal? But like anyone else, I'm still a human being, a man that makes mistakes, and I go out there and I do something wrong, and I have to get into a pity situation. But God's sitting there going, come on, Neil, you know. I've already forgiven you. You've repented. I know you're not perfect. If you were, you would have no need for me. When you share with others, make your witness your story. Tell them from your heart and tell them the truth. Don't be a Christian zombie. Don't be following people just because it's the right thing to do or because someone somewhere says, yeah, you got to go to church on Sunday to be a good Christian. Yeah, you got to do it this way to be a good Christian. Yeah, you got to do this to be a good Christian. The fact of the matter is, you have to have a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus, or you will not be a Christian. It's as simple as that. So when you go forth out of here today, not everyone desires a change in their lives. Believe it or not, some folks are really happy being depressed all the time. And it really scares me. Because those are the ones I really worry about, you know, because they're walking around and misery is just piling upon them. You know, I'm reminded of a story of someone laying in their deathbed. Okay, this is a great person, a great businessman, laying on his deathbed, and someone coming up and interviewing him at the last second, you know, for Newsweek or whatever, and going, if you could do one more thing, what would it be? Can you imagine the words coming out of his mouth? Well, I wish I could do another hour at work. Another hour of overtime. I wish I could just stab one more person in the back. I wish I could make just one more dollar. Or what if they said, you know, I've lived a full and wonderful life and God has blessed me. I'm as ready as I'll ever be. How are you going to answer that question on your deathbed? How are you going to answer it? Are you going to look for that other hour of work? Are you going to want that one more dollar? Or are you going to live a fulfilled life where you didn't have to tell anybody your witness story? They saw it in your face every day. Wow, something is going on in that person's life and I want to know what it is so I can become part of it. That will be your testimony. That will be your effective witness. You will have the power to influence, to see and know personally the work of God. When someone can look at you and go, you know, what he's saying is making sense, or what she's saying is making sense. Maybe I should sit down and listen and start building my life in a good way. This morning, I'll challenge you to do one thing when you go out of here. I want you to find that personal connection you have with God, no matter what. Take 10 minutes, take an hour, take the whole week, I don't care. Get out there and find it. Because if you don't, I can't help you. No one can. You'll just continually put yourself into the position where, oh, why bother? Things are just so overwhelming. Give it to God. Give it to God every moment, every day.